You are about to listen to an episode of The Cypher before it was The Cypher. For our first 75 episodes, we were known as Outside the Lines with Rap Genius, and we had a slightly different format. In all honesty, our production value and sound quality today is much improved from these early episodes. That said, the content is so great that these shows are a valuable part of our archive. If you want more information about our transition, make sure to check out episode 76 with Ritz, which was our first one under the new name. To keep up to date on everything involving The Cypher, visit us online at thecyphershow.com or find us on iTunes. And now, without further ado, here's The Cypher before The Cypher.
Rap Genius.
Man, I was so sick that somebody was running around with my rhymes.
Welcome to Outside the Lines with Rap Genius. I'm your host, Same Old Sean. Back in 1986, a single was released with the strange name, Eric B. is President. It would change rapping forever, and our guest this episode is the reason why. Outside the Lines is proud to bring you a conversation with Rakim, the man whose dense internal rhymes and poetic vision changed hip-hop forever. We talked with Ra after a show at New York's SOB's nightclub. Also in the room was his longtime friend, Supreme Magnetic. Unusually this week, we don't have any annotated interview excerpts to bring you. Instead, you can see Ra's answers tied to the lyrics he's actually talking about on his Rap Genius verified account. Just go to rapgenius.com/Rakim777. We began our conversation by talking about one of rap's greatest mysteries. Who exactly are those guys on the back cover of his debut album, Paid in Full?
The most importantly, wanted to get, you can see who, you know, our users think is in this picture, but I was hoping you and Supreme could go down and tell us finally, definitively, who is who on the back cover of Paid in Full.
Okay, I'll start over here. This is Keith Green from Long Island. Mm-hmm. This is AJ from Queens. Mm-hmm. It's Cool G Rap. D Cool G Rap. Mm-hmm. This is my man, Rob Garcia from Long Island. Allah bless the dead. And Allah bless the dead for Keith Green, too. And, it's my cousin Jason Riley with the black one, and I'll let Preem do the rest.
Yeah.
The one with the red and white, that's the original 50 Cent. Allah bless the dead.
That's the real 50.
And the guy on the top that wearing all the jewelry, that was my brother, so he could protect the innocent, you know?
All right. That's rap right
there.
That's
rap.
A lot of people always mistake Supreme for him, but that's his brother rap.
He filled in that part for me.
Peace to rap, word up.
We can protect the innocent.
And peace to 52, you know? Man, for recognizing the movement and grabbing, you know, like, you know, a lot of rappers, you know, they'll get a movie gangster name, or you know what I mean? But he went right to the hood and done his homework, man. So big up to Fifth, man, and rest in peace to my man Fifth. Word up.
One of the ones that I first wanted to talk to you about was just the opening lines of "I Know You Got Soul," because they're so iconic.
Thank you, man.
Right?
Thank you.
Been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a strong rhyme to step to. You can see it's been referenced by tons and tons of people. You know, even R&B stuff, Timberland and Aaliyah. Like. What were you thinking when you were writing that opening line?
It's funny. It's like when I do records or albums, I kind of start off where I left off. And when we started to do, you know, this song here, you know, it was after, you know, the little gap from the, you know, record that came out before it. And you know what I mean? The first thing that came to my mind was, you know, I felt it's been a long time since my last album, so I wanted to kind of clear that up right off the top, man. So, you know, and then it's funny because it's usually I go out the way to start my records with, you know, some of the illest lines I can think of. But this here, I just wanted to make a statement with it, and it turned out to be one of the illest, you know, couple bars that I said as well. So, you know, it's ill how, you know, the media and the listeners, you know, perceive hip-hop and take what they want from it and use what they love.
Amazing. And I ain't no joke. First, I wanted to show you this real quick, how deep our users take it. You know, you have this line, write a rhyme in graffiti in every show you see me in. And someone found an interview quote where they talk about how you used to actually write your rhymes in graffiti. Do you remember doing that?
Yeah, because I lost a book a long time ago, man. I was in high school, and I lost a rhyme book, man. And for maybe a month, 2 months, man, I was so sick that somebody was running around with my rhymes. You know what I mean? I mean, like when they took Pee Wee Herman's bike, man, I was like sick. And yo, I never forgave myself for that, man. So after that, I started writing my rhymes in like the heaviest, hardest graffiti I can write it in. So if somebody else picked it up, they'd look at it and be like, yo. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's why I started writing my rhymes in graffiti, man. Wow.
And one other line in this tune, you have that, you know, you talk about guide you out of triple stage darkness. So people who don't know the NGE, mm-hmm. maybe you could break down what triple stage darkness is.
Triple stage darkness is deaf, dumb, and blind. And you know, I always hope that my lyrics, you know, brought life, light, and you know, vision, scenery. You know what I mean? But it's a conscious statement. But hopefully the listeners can you know, blow it out of proportion and get more from it as well.
Yeah, and turning your solo career for a second, I remember that. You just had that great line about, like, back before they turned hip-hop to rap, there was always a place to party at.
Well done.
And there was just something so, you know, powerful and kind of innocent about that, about how you described that. I was hoping you'd talk about, you know, that. Like, what did you mean before hip-hop turned to rap?
Well, I think at that time, I think hip-hop was getting big at that time. And one of the things, you know, we was noticing besides the music, the landscape was getting a little crazy. Like the clubs, you know what I mean? It was like, you know, we couldn't keep a club open in New York City for more than a month. You know what I mean? So, you know, the craziness was at an all-time high. The music was crazy. And you know, I was trying to let them know, you know, it's getting a little crazy out here. We got to calm it down and get a little order. Mm. World up.
And I know In the Ghetto is one of your favorite songs. Okay. I know you said that not the subject matter, but the mood of it was inspired by, I think, your dad
My
passing.
Pop. Yeah.
Yeah. You have just a really iconic line there where you say, I'm called to go back to the essence. It's a lot to learn, so I study my lessons. I was hoping you'd talk about that.
Yeah. When we, you know, study lessons and literature, we try to, you know, understand as much as we can. To prepare us for what's after this, if there's, you know, and even if it's something that's out of our control, we think that the more, you know, positive things we do and the more that you know, that's your key to heaven, you know what I mean? So it's just one of them things that, you know, inspired me to, you know, learn as much as I could and read as much literature as I could, because, you know, deep down, you know, we believe that that's our, you know, our key to everlasting peace. So, you
know. It's amazing. And in I want to talk about Know the Ledge for a second, because you have the three verses that all end with this phrase, Know the Ledge, but the last one ends badly with, I guess I didn't know the ledge.
The fourth verse, yeah.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, and, you know, after watching the movie, seeing what they was getting at, you know what I mean, I wanted to kind of make a statement and show, you know, no matter how good it may seem, you know, how shiny the glitter may seem, that, you know, you can be living this way one day and you can be, you know, Tupac in a movie the next day. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where, and I don't know, that was like, you know, kind of early. I don't think rappers was dying in their own rhymes, you know, at that time, you know, because it was too, you know, a rapper is too, you know, too macho to die in a rhyme, you know what I mean? Like, if anything, he gonna kill everything in a room. But, you know, that's one of the, you know, first records where, you know, I say, yo, I want to show them that, you know, this can happen, but, you know, at the same time, all the fly things that you're doing could lead to, you know, your demise. So.
Yeah, and Know the Ledge was this real, like, you know, Nation of Islam 5% style breakdown of the word.
Right, yes,
sir. You're one of the first rappers to really bring to popularize the Nation.
World up, man. It was, I got Knowledge Yourself back in 85, end of 85. And it was ironic, I met Eric B. around the same time. And around my hood, I was learning how to change over to more conscious rhymes. Because, you know, at that time, you know, I was a little younger, a little more crazy, so the rhymes was a little more violent. So at that time, I was learning how to, you know, convert, you know, my rhyme style over, and I met Eric B. So it was like, you know, I felt it was like, you know, like almost like a, you know, like a calling. You know, he came up at the right time. I was presented Knowledge Itself at the right time. You know what I mean? So I felt all that came together for a reason, and I never, you know, put it down because I felt that the knowledge was brought to me because Eric B. was on his way. So, you know, it's one of the things that I cherish, man.
Amazing. And you have this lyric on How to MC that I think is just so iconic of your style. You call yourself part lyricist, part instrument.
Yes, sir.
I was hoping you could talk about that a little bit.
I don't know, with my musical background, I noticed, like, whenever I wrote rhymes, I kind of wrote them in a key. Because, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, you're getting, you know, you hear the music, and for some reason, like, my rhyme would just kind of fit right in key with the track. And it took a while. Like, at first, I didn't really know I was doing it. And then somebody, you know, brought it to my attention, like, yo, man, you hear how every time the key of the track change, you... I'm like, yeah, ain't I supposed to do that? Like, you know what I mean? And then, you know, the more I start paying attention, really, too many people don't really do that. But I guess it's my musical background. Growing up in my household, man, my mother sang, you know, everything from opera to jazz and played everything from opera to jazz. I played saxophone when I was in school. You know, I started with the recorder, like everybody else, worked my way up to the saxophone, and all that was embedded in me, so I just kind of put it all out on the paper.
That's amazing. And keep them eager to listen. You have this line that so talks about your style, how you're relaxed, you're laid back. You say, before I kick a rhyme, I kick my feet up to let you know everything's under control.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's kind of like my style of rhyme that I use, you know what I mean? You know, I've always been a laid-back person, and it kind of, you know, shows in the rhyme. So I kind of, you know, play with people so they know what to expect and how I, you know, project my rhymes.
Yeah. You have this on the 18th letter, you know, you say rhythm, you know, just something that's so deep about where rap really comes from beyond, you know, the 70s, beyond New York, going even deeper. You have that line about rhythms we express and similar to our ancestors. It'll answer your questions if you understand the message.
Word up. You know, that's that we take that back to, you know, the drums and the messages that, you know, our ancestors was playing. And just like then, music was used as a voice to kind of get messages out, you know what I mean? You know, they would sit in the fields and start a song and start, you know, doing a song. But meanwhile, they saying, yeah, we cutting out in the morning. Make sure you're ready at 6. and we gonna be gone. You know, ain't ready. We out. You know what I mean? So it was a message then, and you know, I tried to, you know, use the same tools and use it the same way they did, man. I guess I thought that was the proper way to use it, you know?
Yeah, and I just have to ask, on Paid in Full, obviously you use the term dead presidents, which later would take on so much currency in rap. Were you the first person, as far as you know, to use that on a record?
Yes, sir. I'll say that proudly. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, it was, it's funny, I was a little kid, and I remember my uncle was supposed to take me to Disney World, right? And he was so busy, he dealt in oil. He wanted to take me, but he really didn't have time. So every time he seen me, he used to give me a $100 bill. Boom, crispy. I'm like 6 years old, 5 years old. I used to pop it open, stared it all day. Then I started looking at my man that was on it, because that's like the last thing I really realized. It's like, yo, who are these dudes on here? Because the other bill got a different dude on it. This bill got this. So I started paying attention. And then my uncle told me that he was a dead president. It shot out my head. Never thought about it again until I started rhyming. And it just automatically came back out like, yo, dead presidents, man. So, and you know, I always used, you know, what I learned in my life, you know, in my rhymes or what I seen, what I heard, but mostly what I lived and what I learned in my life is, you know, what I put on the paper.
Amazing. I mean, and you had such a background in rap. I know you said your brother used to tour with Curtis Blow.
Yeah, my oldest brother, Ronnie, used to tour with Curtis Blow.
What was he doing with him?
He played keyboards. And you know, he was doing his thing. He's on the Dollar Bill, y'all. Dollar Bill. That's my brother saying that, playing a do 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 do. That's my brother. But you know, coming up in that household, man, was definitely a blessing. You know, my mother. You know, it was days when we have company over, we all be downstairs, and she start playing music and she sing along. And I just remember, you know, just watching her, like, perform, and, like, whoever was there just, like, couldn't take their eyes off my mom. She started singing. You know what I mean? My pops had a different effect. He'd come home, throw a record on, and walk away, like, yeah, check that out. You know what I mean? So, like, to mix all of that, and my brother's coming up, you know, orientated in music, man. And, you know, me being the youngest, everything just kind of watered down on me.
You play around so much with the term in your early career, the term MC, you know, yeah. So easily do a EMCE. And then you have this line on Eric B as president. You say to me, because to me, MC means to move the crowd.
Yes. That's funny. Like that's another thing that kind of organically like came about. I draw a lot when I write rhymes, when I'm thinking of something, I'll just sit there, you know, draw. I might just write my name, graffiti, just write stuff. And you write MC, and then you look at it, and it's like, okay, that could mean move the crowd. Or, you know what I mean? You think of something that, you know, it really means. And, you know, that's another one of those things that just came together, man. I don't know if I used to sit there and look for, you know, cliche words or whatever, but, you know, I definitely have a few of them, man.
That's amazing. And just finally, you know, more generally, one last thing, like, just when you came out, right, with the first single, with the first record,
right.
You were at 17, 18?
17.
Yeah. How does a 17-year-old kid from pretty far from the epicenter of hip-hop, right, from Long Island, how do you come in and revolutionize what's happening? Like, where does that come from?
I think you hit it on the head. Like, me being so far from New York, I used to, you know what I mean? I used to just sit there and wonder, like, yo, what is going on in the city right now? What are they doing? How do they come up with it? And I used to just sit there and just think about it so crazy that it actually drew me closer to New York, made me feel like I, you know, even though I was 60 miles away, I swore I knew it, you know what I mean? You always doing in the hood every night just by like, yo, they gotta be doing something similar to what we doing out here, you know what I mean? So just fathoming, trying to fathom New York, it made me think bigger, knowing that I was from Long Island, that it was gonna be harder to get in. So I came up with that rhyme, rough enough to break New York from Long Island. And I meant it like I can literally break New, like I'm the reason why Long Island is over here and New York is here. But I'm rough enough to break New York, but I'm from Long Island, you know what I mean? So it was just another one of them things where I was playing with words, but really like, you know, I was really, you know, fixated on trying to make my way in, knowing I was from Long Island. They was like, Long Island, you know, I'm from Long Island. No rappers in here from Long Island, so I had to make my way in.
So you have this, you know, on the first record especially, you're sort of rebelling against Quiet Storm, you know, whether it's Jazz or the Quiet Storm, don't get excited, you've been buying to a Quiet Storm, especially that, like, whether it's Jazz or the Quiet Storm, you know, I can turn it into hip-hop form. Like, I just wanted you to talk about it, because Quiet Storm was super popular when you were going with that. So, like, why talk about Quiet Storm?
Yeah, actually, what I was saying was it don't matter what you give me to rhyme to, I can rhyme to it. If it was what I said, if it was a string of a violin, string of a harp, like, I used to always say, like, you can give me pots and pans and I'll rhyme to it. So that was just saying, like, you know, if it's Jazz or the Quiet Storm, I can make it into hip hop. You know what I mean? Just to also just opening up the horizons to let them know, like, yeah, I do sample jazz. Like, so expect it. Like, sometimes I would kind of just, you know, set them up to understand me a little better and understand what I was doing.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Supreme. Anything to to add, what was your take on what he was doing when he was first starting out? Where were you in relation to that?
Well, I met him when I threw a block party in my neighborhood for the young generation, for the young kids.
Word up, fourth grade.
I met him.
Word
he
up.
Gave me a limo.
Word up, fourth grade projects back in '86.
Yeah.
And I remember when we got up in the projects, people was looking like, yo, y'all really came here. Like, no rappers come here. No rap. It was like, yo, y'all here? My man Supreme, he's, you know, holding it down. But it was like, you know, that kind of, you know, set us up big in the streets, man. That got us a lot of street cred. And, you know, from there, it, you know, back then you had to get co-signed by the streets first.
Yeah.
And once you made it in the streets, then, you know, you make it in the industry. So, you know, we paid our dues in the street. Mm-hmm. Got the love from the street, and they made the, you know, the streets made the world like us, man. So thanks to the hood. Yeah. Thanks to people like Supreme, you know what I mean, and holding us down and supplying things for the neighborhood, man, because at the same time, what he was doing, you know, for the neighborhood, it was, you know, he was also doing something for Eric B. and Rakim, because like I said, you know, I can walk anywhere in New York City by myself, all my jewelry on, money hanging out my pocket. I could be drunk going up the street. And people say, yo, Rob, you got money hanging out your pocket.
Money.
You know what I mean? And that's the beautiful thing, man, about, you know, the way...
And he was like one of the first rappers that Dapper Dan ever had. He was the first rapper Dapper Dan ever did anything for. He was all doing nothing but street guys.
Word up. And that's thanks to my man Prem and his brother Rap.
Rapper dude that I want you to do an outfit for. Cause we had to a party in a little hole in the wall bar, and everybody
everybody
in my crew had Gucci on.
I came through. You know what I mean? I got the sweats on. I probably had on like a little sweatsuit. I came through, man. Everybody in there had Gucci, Fendi, Louis, Polo, MCM. So like, you know, I'm looking around. I'm just different colors. They got matching the sneakers, and I'm just sitting there real quiet. After I seen about the 30th dude with a suit on, I was like, yo, Prem, come here, man. Where y'all getting these suits from, man? He was like, oh, don't worry about it. That's my man Dap. I'll take you here tomorrow. And I'm still, you know, I want, nah. Who is this dude? What is this? Yo, what's going on? Don't worry about it. I'll take you there tomorrow. Be ready, 11 o'clock. Whoa. Sure enough, man, I went up there the next day. Prem and them took me up there. I seen my man Dap, and he literally sewed the suit on my back. Like, about six people measuring me up, boom, boom, boom. I'm standing there talking. Before I know it, I have a piece of leather on my back. Before I know it, they're stitching this on. I got arms now. Got a jacket on. I'm like, yo, real talk. Piece of Dapper Dan, man. He made the hood look so good. Mm-hmm. Word, so good.
Well, thank you so much. We would love to have you to meet up again, to have you come through the office.
Yeah, yo, I would love to,
break
man,
down
this
some
is
more
dope,
lyrics.
Man. This yeah. Especially a rapper like me, I need this. Yeah, I want to be down with this right here, man. This is dope.
That was our conversation with Rakim. If you like what you hear on Outside the Lines, make sure to find us on iTunes. From there, you can subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. While you're there, make sure to give us a review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the better chance we have of continuing to get amazing guests like Rakim. You can also check out all our past episodes at our website, outsidethelinespodcast.com. Or follow us on Twitter at OTL_podcast. Outside the Lines with Rap Genius is created and written by Sean Sitaro.
That got us a lot of street cred.
Our show is produced and engineered by Josh Cross at Crosstown Studios.
Sing everything from opera to jazz and played everything from opera to jazz.
Our invaluable intern is Julia Hannafin.
Fathoming, trying to fathom New York. It made me think.
Special thanks to Jason Potential Chandler for helping out with this interview.
But hopefully the listeners can blow it out of proportion and get more from it as well.
Our music is by Sion.
He was so busy. He dealt in oil.
Join us in 2 weeks when we sit down with Pharoah Monch to celebrate the release of his new album, PTSD. We'll see you then, Outside the Lines. Yes, we do have a very particular question for you.